Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is made possible in part by a grant from First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the coronavirus and what is taking place as the outfall. You know, I've used the illustration several times on this broadcast in the past few weeks that it's a magician. It's a magical act. True, the coronavirus is real. True, the coronavirus is deadly. True, that many will die as a result of it. Of course, my most humble opinion, it will not be any greater. In 2018, 80,000 died with the common flu. In 2019, about 50,000 died with the flu. So far this year, about 31,000 in America have died with the common flu. And yet we have mega hundreds of thousands dying every year as a result of murder by way of abortion. We're not talking about that. We're not concerned about that. We're not concerned about the thugs in Baltimore and Chicago, Detroit and San Francisco and New York and those that are dying every day, every weekend by the thuggery that's taking place. We're not talking about that. We're just simply focusing on the coronavirus as though the world's coming to an end. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it is. We're on the fast track in the last of the last days. Mayors across America threatening to shut off water and power and force the closings of businesses and churches. Some mayors are threatening to confiscate property to force to compliance. In fact, we've had that take place in the state of Florida where mayors have said, not only are we going to tell JEA to cut off your power and your water, but we have the authority to confiscate your property, a levy on your property, or take a lien on your property if you fail to obey in the closing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's martial law. That cannot be done in a constitutional republic that we're in America. I'm concerned about what we see, and yet I see Christians sitting down in silence, cuddled in a closet in silence and fear and anguish over what the government says that you must do and you cannot do anything different. Now, New York Times blames the Christians for the virus. Remember, Nero in AD 70 burned Rome and then blamed the Christians. I'll tell you about that further in the balance of this broadcast. Government officials are encouraging people to tell on their neighbors and if they feel that their neighbors are not complying with the governmental orders. It's a snitching system, and I'll talk about that further because that is rampant in communist dictatorship nations today. That's rampant in North Korea. That's rampant in Cuba. That's rampant in China. That's rampant today in Russia, and we're instituting that. We're watching it being put in place as I speak today, ladies and gentlemen, under the guise that we've got to do so to protect you and me from the potential death of the coronavirus. Government health officials using a faulty data set on the premise for national shutdown. In fact, the female physician with the Center for Disease Control, one of the national institutes that Dr. Fauci is with, it's Dr. Bricks, she says that the data that we have is not accurate. And yet I hear Senator Lindsey Graham quoting that if we don't do something, 2.2 million people could die. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Research that on Google. That number is fallacious. It's false. It's phony. It is a made-up number that is coming that came out of World Health Organization, dictated and paid for by China, and it is something that we have been making the premise, our health leadership has been making the premise on, and it is a faulty, phony, farce data set that is absolutely incorrect. Panic and chaos and confusion and sheer hysteria is now the normal, natural position on a global basis. Just the right time for Satan and his demonic forces to be put in place and to ultimately have a global plan for the Antichrist to step on the scenes and with a iron fist, with demonic power that's given by Satan himself to come in and step on the scene and control the whole world. So just how does the coronavirus come into focus with biblical prophecy? How does the coronavirus come into focus with eschatological truth? We're going to talk about that for the balance of this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. And I pray that you listen up very carefully. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question and comment, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning. I'd like to give you a break so that you can lower your blood pressure a minute.
Thank you.
I'm gonna have a caveat with what I'm about to say, and I think we're going to do Jude 3. This is called Contending for the Faith instead. Step beyond dialogue and discussion. Here's my caveat, so please hear this directly. If my pastor said that we're going to meet this Sunday as normal, I'd be there on the front row, and will be. If my pastor said we're going to meet, I'll be there Sunday on the front row. Now, that said, here's what I want to say about this whole thing. First of all, oh, man, am I going to get in trouble. This is not a bad thing. This is a cleansing that we have right now. We're going to either emerge from this thing strong and clean. I'll use Isaiah 1:16-20 as an example. Come, let us reason together. You shall be whiter than snow, et cetera, et cetera. But if you don't, something bad will happen. But if this isn't a cleansing, if this is the final declension, then the net result is you and I are going to disappear anyway, aren't we?
Well, amen, I'm ready.
And so what you're doing is warning the people. But I'm going to say some things a little different than what you said, so forgive me. I yield to your wisdom, but I got an opinion. That's, you know,
have at it.
Tells me I can do that, okay?
That's right. So that's what this broadcast is about.
There you go. I've just said this isn't a bad thing. The first thing I'm going to begin with is this, and I hope people out there will hear me. Fear God alone and nothing else. If you're a believer, you fear him, and that eliminates the need for fear, period.
Amen.
Now, we need to throw that word fear, as it applies to us personally, out of our dictionary. It does not exist. Okay, the Bible is very clear. 1 Peter 4:17 says, judgment begins where? With the house of the Lord. Is that right?
That's right.
Judgment begins with the house of the Lord. I said in the beginning of this thing, this is a good thing, because the net result of all that we're going through is actually producing some Christian-oriented, time-founded truths that are good for us. The first is this. It's taking us back to the family. Our culture has become so rushed and so splintered and so 24/7 that the family has been devastated. We have very few, relatively speaking, compared to the past, two-parent households, and those parents probably have been married before a couple of times. But the reality is, the real nuclear family, that which is defined by God, will actually be strengthened in this mess that we're in right now, because people who do have families are going to have to come back together and support each other. So I'm going to stop with that point. And the second point is this. If we were a single-income, family-based culture as we used to be, we'd have moms at home taking care of the kids. When school was out, if it was out for some reason, moms could still school the kids at home, which is our responsibility as parents anyway. And so there's an awful lot of people doing that. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of folks that are suffering, but those are folks that are outside the family system. So all this mess is reinforcing the family. Now, let me take another step here. We are told, and I hope we will emphasize Philippians 4:4-9. That's Philippians 4:4-9. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, et cetera, et cetera. You're familiar with that verse.
Yes, yes.
With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And I sit here today with just as many problems as other people have, and we've got a few in our family we've never had before that we're having to deal with. But I am more thankful than I have ever been before. Here's why. First of all, truth is now being revealed. We don't have any more shady areas, areas of, well, we don't know whether this is right or wrong. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. And if you're a believer, it's going to be obvious to you, so you have an opportunity to say, wait a minute, God was right all along, and I better get myself right with his word. I ought to do what Isaiah 1:16-17 says. Now, I want to give you an example, in my opinion. This could get us in trouble, so be ready with a mute switch. Truth is being revealed. First of all, we were given the right to shape the government that's over us, right? We're one of the only nations in the world, if not the only nation in the world.
We have that responsibility.
Based in the Christian faith, gave us the right, the duty, the responsibility to shape the government over us. And what have we done collectively? We have empowered foolish leadership. Fools. Fools run our nation. Now, we have a few that are good. Thank God for Donald Trump and some others. But frankly, the Democrats have been revealed as devils, period. They're as demonic as they can be. If you take scripture and you take the platform of the Democrat Party, just like your previous caller said, she was talking about abortion, Democrats are devils, and they're the ones that are behind the declension, in my view, in this country. You want to blame somebody. Secondly, the news media is thoroughly corrupt. We have been told that in the past. We're seeing it in spades. Now, there are some exceptions. God has given us some exceptions. I like OAN. I think occasionally Fox News is still doing pretty good. But the rest of the media is thoroughly corrupt. See what the New York Times said yesterday to make my point. Oh, evangelical Christians are responsible for this mess. Now, I'm just about done, so bear with me. We have broadcast people that are Christian broadcasting is filled with people who are duplicitous. We have people that own broadcast networks who actually support a right for a woman, a woman's right to murder. I can't imagine that. While saying that we're Christian broadcasting, we still have ownership that supports a woman's right to choose. We have Christian broadcasting outlets who have such immorality in their day-to-day operations of management. People that are absolutely, they dress like the world, they're promiscuous, they take stands against, you know, firmly established Christian value systems. So we've learned that the media is untrustworthy, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I said that I'm thankful. I'm thankful that truth is being revealed. Black is black and white is white. Evil is evil and good is good. Up is up and down is down. Now, the false faith is in high visibility right now. What do I mean by that? The church has become an economic institution more than anything else. America's, I guess, greatness is rooted in our strength of our financial systems, our natural industries. All these things have caused us to be faith-based with respect to economy. And these mega churches are going to be concerned when we have this kind of a breakdown in the economy, because there's grave danger to those institutions that are highly leveraged and have these huge mortgages, et cetera, et cetera. So they may be pushing to extend their church services for the wrong reason. Now, remember I said in the beginning, if my pastor said, we're going to meet on Sunday, I'll be there on the front row. But right now we have a large number of institutions that are called churches that are being revealed as nothing more than economic entities where people met for social gathering. The Spirit of the Lord is not there. You know that, and I know that. There are actually Absolutely. Very few churches today. That's why a little church that I would sit in on Sunday, if we were to meet, I would call the Church of Philadelphia. That little door before which God has set, that little church before which God has set an open door that no man can close, that little tiny church before which those who say they are Jews but aren't, those who are the synagogue of Satan shall bow, and those in that little church of Philadelphia that will be kept from the hour of testing that shall come upon what?
Amen.
The whole earth.
Overall.
So the end of the matter, and I think maybe I just need to end this now before I go on much too long. We do not need to fear. We need to be thankful. Philippians 4:4-9, we got to burn that into us. We have to be thankful because actually, the net result of what we're going through now is going to result only in a cleansing, which we desperately need. Father, take us back to our roots. And we're going back there. We're going back to the nuclear family. We're going back to the one-income household. We're going back to maybe eventually meeting together in small churches, small homes that aren't based on money and bigness and you know, how many people we have coming through the door, and we number them, we say, yeah, we're the biggest church in the country, whatever. No. God is humble. God is meek. God is powerful, and he's showing us his power right now. Okay.
Absolutely.
I think I'm done. You've been very patient. Thanks for listening. I hope
your blood pressure. Thank you so much for your input. You're right on target to what you're saying. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today this coronavirus and what is taking place and how does it fit into biblical prophecy. Our previous caller just said it's bringing the nuclear family back together. By the way, there's a little caveat to that that I'd like to add myself, and that is that based on the latest reports that I'm reading, and I've got a half a dozen articles on that just today, where spousal abuse and domestic abuse is taking place on a rampant level across America because for the first time in most of the marriages, the husband and wife and the whole family is together. And in most cases, they're together because one or both the parents are out of jobs, out of work. And as a result of that, they're anguished and worried and get into abuse and fights. And there's been major, major cases of that just in the past week across America. And I'm concerned about that. There's another factor, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the fact that distress, the scripture says in Luke 21:25, that there shall be distress of nations with perplexities. That means full of anguish, full of confusion, full of uncertainty. And then in the 26th verse of Luke chapter 21, heart attacks because of what is taking place. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the whole earth, for the powers of heaven are shall be shaken. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing those across the world and across America that are absolutely so worried and frightened, they're committing suicide. Here's an article that says, as leftists demand America stay closed for months, suicide calls are skyrocketing. One of the saddest pieces of news to come out of the COVID-19 pandemic, other than the morning of death toll caused by the virus itself, is increasing number of reports about suicide in America. And it goes on to talk about the ones that committed suicide in North Dakota and in Kentucky, in Oregon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's committing suicide as a result of the panic and the fright and the fear that's being brought about by the 24/7 news. Here's one that stands out to me. German finance minister Thomas Schäfer commits suicide over the coronavirus pandemic sweeping through Germany. The body of Thomas, 54-year-old member of the Chancellor Angela Merkel's Christian Democracy Democratic Union, was found Saturday on the railroad tracks in near Frankfurt. A visibly shaken person recalled that Schäfer, who was the finance minister for 10 years, had been working day and night to help companies and workers deal with the economic impact of the pandemic. Quote, today we have to assure that he was deeply worried, said a close ally and friend of Angela Merkel. Ladies and gentlemen, this is happening across the nation. Go back and study the history of the Great Depression, 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33. You'll find bankers jumping out of skyscraper windows. You'll find those that were wealthy people that became paupers overnight and the end result of it. And I'm not a doom and gloomist, but I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the handwriting on the wall, as the cliche goes, based on the fifth chapter of Daniel. We're seeing the handwriting on the wall, ladies and gentlemen, what the future holds for America. And may I tell you, may I say, that this is taking place. Yes, the coronavirus is real. Yes, people will die. But yes, we have overblown it with the 24/7 newsreel, causing panic and perplexities and distress of nations, heart attacks, suicides due to the fear and the worry of living in a day when and where people are in fear and not in faith of God, at a time more than ever for the churches to be open and seeing God's hand at work and helping minister to his people. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, that's not happening. The family unit is now being destroyed. Our previous caller said the family unit is coming together, and it is to a degree. They're being forced together, whether they want to or not, is my position on that. But it's happening, ladies and gentlemen, because government in America urging people to report on neighbors if they are not complying with the orders to stay in. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, said leftist, the title of it is leftist, colon, let's use the coronavirus to eliminate the family. A commentary published by a far-left publication funded in part by left-wing billionaire George Soros says some good things can come out of the coronavirus pandemic. For example, the total elimination of the family. And that's George Soros' position. It goes further. This writer in this article says, we deserve better than the family. And the time of corona is an excellent time to practice abolishing the family. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the goal for a disarray and a disruption and a destruction of the family unit on a global basis that will bring about the global governance is what they're looking for. Here's an article that says, China bribing children to report on their religious parents. During the Cultural Revolution, China's communist government offered monetary rewards to children who reported religious believers, including their own parents, to police. The report said current regime continues to use this despicable method to crack down on all religion in China. It started out as one of the Chinese Communist Party's go-to tools to suppress dissident following the revolution. April 2019, it was further exacerbated and enlarged. A primary school principal gathered together the students and for a lecture on the importance of reporting on religious beliefs. He first played a video in which a teacher was telling students to observe if their families or neighbors receive visitors who could be religious. A student in the video revealed to the group that his neighbor had hosted a gathering of believers. The teacher reported the fact to the police. Subsequently, the neighbor was arrested together with the entire group of visiting believers, according to the report. After watching the video, the school assistant principal encouraged the students to follow the boy's example and report to the police any religious family members and neighbors. He also threatened to expel anyone from school who believes in God. Ladies and gentlemen, you think that's impossible for America? Think again. It's taking place in America today under the guise of the coronavirus. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we need to recognize is that in the scripture, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9 and following, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated, and you shall be hated of all people, all nations, for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place today on a global basis and right here in the United States of America. It is important for us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm reading an article here. It says, at 12:45 p.m., we received a call stating that Florida Pastor Rodney Howard Brown of the River Church of Tampa was being arrested for holding church services yesterday. While a long list of commercial operations are exempted from the Tampa administrative order, this religious gathering was targeted. After reviewing the facts, we agreed to represent the pastor. This is Matt Staver speaking. The Tampa order has 42 paragraphs of exceptions. 42 paragraphs of exceptions. Let that soak in. Another paragraph that further exempts the business can comply with 6-foot separations. This church did comply to that requirement. In fact, the church has done more to balance worship with protecting people, including, listen to what this church had done in Tampa. Enforce the 6-foot distance between family groups in the auditorium with overflow rooms. All staff wore gloves. Every person who entered the church received hand sanitizers. In the farmer's market and the coffee shop in the lobby, the 6-foot distance was enforced. Was the door specifically marked? Farmer's market and produce stands are expressly exempted. The church spent $100,000 on a hospital-grade purification system set up throughout the entire church that provided continuous infection microbial reduction that is rated to kill microbes, including those in the coronavirus family. The rights enumerated in the United States Constitution and the Florida law still apply to people of faith. This is Matt Staver speaking. No other secular business has done what this church has done to protect its people. Yet Hillsborough County Sheriff wants to openly discriminate against the church gatherings. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place. That's destroying the family. And as a result of what we see in the scripture, in the prophetic text, we understand that that will continue to absolutely be exacerbated until the man of sin, the Antichrist, the lawless one, steps on the scene and with a dictatorial iron fist will rule the entire world. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, quick comment. Kudos to you, and your son did a magnificent summation. Bravo. That's all.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. By the way, when we look at the eschatological text, when we look at the scripture, we need to understand the family unit, as I said, is being destroyed. Government threatens to shut down churches permanently. Here's one, Bill de Blasio. Comrade de Blasio permanently closes New York City churches if they don't comply with social distancing. The failed 2020 presidential candidate Bill de Blasio made his big threat toward organized religion on Sunday afternoon, considering New York City is the epicenter of the coronavirus in America. Some people will certainly feel that this decision is just, others won't, he goes on to say. New York City Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio threatened last week to permanently close all places of worship if they break the law on social distancing in the city where the outbreak is so heavy. Ladies and gentlemen, makes no difference about the outbreak. I'm not trying to discount it, not trying to minusculize it, not trying to say that it's not real. But you cannot traverse, you cannot simply forget and trounce on the Constitution simply because you want to enforce martial law without declaring it. That is what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking at articles that says, how did the constitutional analysis of government restrictions in a health care crisis? The coronavirus constitutional law discussion, and it's by Michael Ferris, an attorney, and he says there must be a compelling interest standard. This is designed to assess how important the government objective is. In Wisconsin, Yoder case, the Supreme Court described this as an interest of higher order. Ladies and gentlemen, the article goes on to say that the government must take the least restrictive means and measures to enforce the rules and regulations. The least restrictive would not be shutting down a church. The least restrictive will not be putting a pastor in jail. The least restrictive will not be simply on a cavalier carte blanche basis saying all churches must close down. If the church can comply with the separation between the people and have different spaces in the church so that they can still worship or have separate worship times, worship at 10, worship at 11, worship at 12, etc., so the whole crowd's not there at the same time, that's giving the pastors of the church the right to lead their flock as God would have them to do. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, De Blasio, clothesline hangs churches out to dry. And he goes on to talk about the very same thing about shutting churches down. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, what is happening. And here's the New York Times that blames Christians. New York Times says that the road to coronavirus hell was paved by Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the end times come about. Here's an article that says Pope Francis on Sunday added his voice to the call for United Nations Secretary General for an end to global conflict so that all resources can focus on fighting the coronavirus and having a one world United Nations, one world governance. Ladies and gentlemen, when the stimulus bill was passed, did you know that Nancy Pelosi and her cronies had inserted in the stimulus bill a provision for what is called digital dollars? Digital dollars. That is to set in place at a future tense in the United States of America so that cash money is not worth anything, that you have digital dollars. You have a card, and everything on that card has all of your information, and your money can be uploaded or downloaded, and if you have $1 million in cash, you are a pauper without that digital dollar. We're setting the stage, ladies and gentlemen, eschatologically speaking, to see the Antichrist step on the scene and require a mark in the head or the hand, and that will be a chip that Bill Gates has already now got in mind to put in every human being by way of the coronavirus vaccine that he has in mind for the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You've been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.